even step back to let the U.S. take cargo out, but how do you hold it?
Well, the whole thing
Politics
is
is here.
imagine Iwo Jima, but not an island. Landing on Red Beach, Green Beach, and all these on Iwo Jima with Suribachi, but instead of Suribachi, you have an entire mountain range surrounding it with depth, strategic depth, all
Oh,
the way
yeah.
China, all the way in. And all the Iranians have to do is, bring material up, and you're just being sucked into a trap.
Yep, absolutely.
And there's not a military professional here that will say, I mean, if they asked me, I said, I could get a beachhead. Hell, Marines are very good at getting beachheads.
Yeah. Then
We
what do
could
you
come.
do?
We'll wait. Yeah, we'll wade through, a mile worth of chest deep water under machine gun fire. We're Marines. That's what we do. But then what?
Yeah.
Tarawa was an island. We were able to isolate, destroy, bring in firepower, wear them down. But imagine if the Japanese could just keep replenishing that which we destroyed, and now we have to keep projecting force across through. It's unsustainable,
Oh,
and
it's
eventually
unsustainable.
we will have to withdraw with heavy loss of life, which is what happened at Koh Tang Island. So I just ask people, this: the president has no intention of taking Koh Tang on, because I will tell you right now, the military won't do it. You have a duty and responsibility as a military officer to decline bad orders. If you're given an order to die, there has to be a reason behind it. We know commander's intent. Take Hill 861. Why? Because that's what commander's intent's about. Why? We don't just go, yes, sir. Why do you want me to take Hill 861? Well, because of commanding overlook over Highway 1. So if I'm assaulting 861 and there's a battalion dug in there, and I'm going to die taking 861, what if I hold the battalion, their battalion in check, come over here and interdict Highway 1 using this other route there? Now I fulfill commander's intent by interdicting Highway 1, and I haven't committed suicide. So the question is, why do you want to take Karg Island? For propaganda purposes, that's not a legitimate military mission. What is the commander's intent behind it? And Trump can't articulate one. So to get their oil, as you said, no, that doesn't solve the problem. They click off the off switch, offload it elsewhere. The stupidity of Americans to buy into this nonsense is
All right.
beyond.
Yeah, when you said, but anyway, on a lighter note, a side note, real quick, when you said Beavis and Butthead, so yeah, I need TV for my butthole. When I was stationed in Bosnia, our base camp, there were a couple of tapes of Beavis. I'm dating myself, VHS tapes. And every night, that was coming from a different tent. So it was passing. It was the Beavis and Butthead Does America or some of that video that they had. Movie, and you could hear it passing back and forth across the base camp for like a month as everybody's watching it. But yeah, and here,
He says.
the problem is with Beavis and Butthead is it's also the European Union model of leadership.
It's also the founders of Ekaterinburg, so we have to be careful.
Yeah.
They got that statue in the city, so they call it Beavis and Butthead. The statues of the two founders of Ekaterinburg. The locals call it Beavis and Butthead.
I lived in Yekaterinburg. I never heard that. I lived there for about a year and a half.
Well, I'm a naive American, and maybe they just sat there and blew smoke at me. But I did do my due diligence and found it's on their Wikipedia page. So,
Oh, is it really? Oh my God. They weren't on Wikipedia when I was when I opened an office there, but no, I never traveled, never went to the Yeltsin Center either. Don't need to be bad attempts of brainwashing by liberals. Lived in the U.S. long enough. I did try that quite a bit, but yeah, that's if you look at these guys. I mean, again, back to the NATO summit, the entire European Union or NATO. Almost the same thing, with very few exceptions. They're all under this absolute belief that they're winning. No matter what, we're winning.
I don't know if they believe it or if it's just necessary to sustain the fraud. One of the things is you can know you're telling a lie, but if the goal and objective of the lie is to create perception elsewhere, you'll keep the lie. I think that there are too many people in Europe and the United States who Because I hear this all the time. I hear people quoting, both, Gorbachev and Yeltsin models. Gorbachev, of course, the August 1991 coup. Yeltsin, the 1993, parliamentary revolt, and people keep quoting these two things and saying, this is the inevitable trajectory. Hell, there's a whole CIA assessment on the Wagner mutiny and trying to link it to the two, the inevitability of Putin's demise. And Wagner mutiny proved this. It didn't prove that at all. But the point is, there's people now who
Sorry.
believe that. I mean, I'm right now in a big pissing contest with Gilbert Doctorow because he believes that he's vulnerable. He thinks that Putin, but there's people out there who are starting to buy into this crap, that there could be a Moscow Maidan. And so now, and this is what is driving everything that Europe is doing right now, none of what Europe articulates policy-wise is achievable. None of it is achievable. Germany will never build the army they claim to build. People tend to forget that Olaf Scholz took a $100 billion gift from the parliament to reinvigorate the British or the German military, and 100 billion euro later had nothing to show for it because the German military is so broke, you can't fix it. So there's no amount of money that will fix that, and there's no way the Germans are going to get a population where 60% of the military-age men say, we will not fight ever. And suddenly you want to what expand your military from what 148,000 they got now to just under 500,000 in 4 years or 3 years. It's like, well, no, you're smoking some serious dope at this point in time. None of their defense industry is incapable of doing that. Imagine that, growing your military threefold. You barely have a defense industry that can sustain what you have, which is insufficient, and now you want to triple this. And that's not just the building the equipment, it's also building the sustainability, as you know. It's physically impossible for the Germans to do this. They don't have the money for it. They don't have the infrastructure. They don't have the industry. They don't have the population. And yet everybody's buying into this and saying that why? Well, the reason is inside Russia today, there are people who are embracing this and saying, if we don't take out the Germans now, I mean, Gilbert Doctorow just wrote an article yesterday, Russia is losing the war with an exclamation mark.
Jeez. And
But one of some of the
he's
arguments,
gone full BS.
but some of the arguments he makes is, well, the New York Times just published an article that talks about a secret German drone factory in an undisclosed location where the Germans are building advanced drones that are going to give the Ukrainians capability to take out the Russian energy infrastructure. And I went, well, wait a minute, Gilbert, why don't we dig a little bit deeper? What did the New York Times talk about? They talked about Helsing SE, which is a Bavarian-based company. We actually know where the factory is. I don't want to be accused of giving the Russians target information, but if I know.
Yeah, they know.
And what they're producing are there's two kinds of drones. HF-1, which is a drone that was being used by the Ukrainian Special Operations Forces. I've seen videos of Burevestnik drones knocking them out of the sky. But hey, look, any drone, if allowed to get to a target, will go boom, and it's a bad day for the people on the receiving end. The problem is that the HF-1 doesn't work. The 4,000 were shipped. And the majority of them, or significant percentage of them, are still in warehouses. The Ukrainians don't want to use them because there's a huge dud rate. The AI that's promised doesn't work. When you launch, as you know, the Russians have a unit called Rubicon. Rubicon lives and breathes to hunt down and kill Ukrainian drones and drone operators. And they do that through persistent ISR, doing pattern of life, using AI to rapidly assess information, pick out targets to locate places where the Ukrainian drones are operating, and then they immediately hit them with standby, either FABs with loitering aircraft, or they hit them with Iskanders, or they hit them with something. But you're dead. You get detected. You're dead. That's why you read every day the Ministry of Defense. People ignore that the Ukrainians blew up another, oil factory. Yeah, but that oil factory is going to be repaired in 2 weeks. That oil is going to be
Well,
repaired in 2 weeks.
they never blow up an actual refinery. They hit the storage tanks.
The FP-1 has a 60, at that range, has a 60-kilogram warhead. It goes pop, pop. That's it. So it's just a joke. But meanwhile, they never talk about, well, the Russians killed another dozen Ukrainian UAV command posts. Well, what's a
Yep.
command post? Command post, six to ten experienced drone operators. It takes 4 weeks to give you basic training, 6 months to become good, and if you screw up, you're dead, and you lose all that. Every day the Ukrainians are losing 60 to 80 experienced drone operators every single day. Why? Because you make mistakes. I was shown a video. I said, "Well, watch what happens." Because your UAV teams will infiltrate into a site and then they dig in. They're not out there maneuvering. They're
Right, right.
launching in support. And the Russians are looking for them. Pattern of life, AI, assisted intelligence, any mistake. And so when you come in, the Russians do the same thing. What you pack in, you pack out. You don't leave anything, any indication. You got to hydrate. You know that. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. So the Ukrainians out there, huh? Now he's supposed to get up and put it in the bin, but he does a Scott Ritter. I'm lazy. Oops, I missed. And it rolls out from underneath the camouflage net and the foliage, and the plastic bottle suddenly exposed. And the Russian AI goes, plastic bottle wasn't there.
Yep, plastic
Russians
bottles
go, what do
now.
we got? And they assess and they go, kill. 5 minutes later, boom, 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 everybody there is dead. So now imagine you're with an HF1 drone that the Germans are giving you. It's AI generated. It's so good, baby. And you come out and you're trying to assemble it, but it's not assembling right. And you go to launch and you get a launch failure rate of 75%. Go launch. It ain't launching. And the Russians are going, hey, what's happening down here? Launch. And now you run away because you say we can't do it, but the Russians are following you to where you go, damn, and you're dead. This is the reality of that German drone. Now then they have a new one, the X something two. I can't remember the exact one, but it's an X drone. And he's going, this is advanced stuff, man. The Germans are crazy. They got it. They got the X drone. I'm like, it's an analog of the Lancet, you moron. The one that the Russians, and it's not as good. And you know what? The Ukrainian Special Forces, who, whatever you think about them, they're good drone operators. They're
Oh,
good. They're good drone operators. They refuse to use it because it has a huge failure to launch rate. And if your drone fails to launch, if you expose yourself in this modern, and the Russians make the same mistake. This is why they have the. They have some very simple drones. Everybody laughs at some of the Russian drones. I think one of their better drones that they use is the Molinya or something of that nature, a twin engine.
yeah.
I mean, but you look at it, I looked at it, and I'm like, guys, this is a bad toy. Yeah, but it works.
Yeah,
Every
that, if it works, it's not stupid. It's not broken.
we're underneath the bush. Guys are looking, nothing, nothing, clear, clear, go. One, two, three, shoot, fire back into the bush. There, you minimize your window of exposure. Because it works. But now you bring in the fancy German built drone. Click, 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 click. Oh, we got a nice stand here. Good. Oh, AI, make sure the AI is up and running. Everything's good. Launch, no launch. Launch, no launch. Launch, no launch. Boom, you're dead. That's the
Yep.
way it is. This is the reality. Gilbert Doctorow didn't talk about any of this. He just simply said the German advanced drones are going to destroy. First of all, these are battlefield support drones. These drones will never be used against Russian refineries. Then he come back later. He cited the attack on Samara. Oh, Samara, they hit Samara, and it's it. I looked at it. It's horrible. This is the end of Russia. This is it. Russia, and it's advanced German drones using American intelligence that did this. And I went, well, no, it was the FP1, Fire Point One drone. It's a plywood drone. It uses a two-cylinder combustion engine. And what's advanced about it is the Starlink antenna attached to it. The CIA provides that. And yeah, it goes in. There's some AI stuff that can bring it in. The Ukrainians build 100 of them a month, a day. They're firing, at a rate of a couple hundred a day. They have a success rate of less than 10%. Everything else gets shot down. And all the factories are getting blown up. That's the other thing that that Gilbert Doctorow doesn't want to talk about is that the fact is this isn't advanced German technology that's scaring the crap out of the Russians. The Russians have solved this problem. Starlink sectors are being shut down as we speak along the front. The Hornet, which was the terrorist drone, chased us down. The Hornet not working right now. Why? Because Starlink's not working. Why isn't Starlink working? Well, don't ask me to tell you that. You figure it out yourself.
Oh
But
yeah. I know. Why?
I know you know. That's what I'm saying. You know, the Russians are adaptable. The Russians identify a problem. There was no panic. I interviewed Dmitry Rogozin, former Roscosmos guy, and now he's commander of Bar Sarmat, which is a reserve military brigade out there doing stuff. But they have a drone research center. And he talked about the Hornet. He talked about Starlink. He talked about AI. He talked about all this. And he said, it's a problem right now. You know, yeah, we're going to go through a little period of difficulty. But there's no panic. We got this thing solved. We already solved it. We already solved it. We just now have to bring the solution to the front lines and all that. This is the thing that Gilbert Doctorow doesn't understand. The other thing is, he's like, Samara was hit. Well, yeah, but it was also hit in January of 2025. It was hit in December 2025. It was hit in March and April and May of 2026. And each time it got hit, it was back up in operation a few weeks later because it's getting hit with something that goes pop. The FP1 goes pop. What are Russia hitting? Because when the Russians hit the different establishments, they hit it with things that go boom.
One
And that's
ton Iskandar warhead.
with precision guidance. You
Precision
know,
guidance.
so we got pop, 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 and we got boom, 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 boom. I can just tell you, I'm just a simple Marine, and I'm just going to use this is basically simple Marine analysis. The pops will not defeat the booms.
No.
Okay? And Gilbert Doctorow doesn't see, but here's the thing. We come back to what is going on in NATO. There's an old saying I learned in the Marine Corps. You might have heard it in the Army. When you're explaining, you lose. You know, it doesn't
No,
matter if you're.
actually, and I don't think I've ever heard that saying.
Really? Oh man, I got called in front of my general for screwing up, but I kept telling him how right I was. Sir, I'm right, and I'm defending myself. And finally, he just looks at me, he goes, "Lieutenant," because I was a lieutenant arguing with a general. How stupid can you get? He said, "Let me teach you something here, son. When you're explaining, you're losing, and you're standing in front of me explaining, you lost. It doesn't matter how good your argument is. You're explaining, you're losing. And so here's the problem." I just explained to you why Gilbert Doctorow's thesis is fundamentally flawed. And it is. It's
It
fundamentally. But how many people are going to sit there? That's why I did an interview with Ksenia Sobchak. And a lot of people were sitting there, you know, saying, well, you didn't answer the question directly. Well, it's hard to answer a question directly because there's actually background information that's relevant to
Oh,
a. And plus, I'm somebody who wants to make sure that the answer is 100% airtight, correct. They're like, well, you're doing this. Yeah. You're explaining, you're losing. When you're explaining to an audience what the details are, you've lost the audience. And that's the beauty of what went on in NATO. It was one big lie, one big lie. But it was, man, this was, you know, again, you know, Mary Poppins, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. I mean, they were just jamming sugar in the mouths of everybody. Oh, licensed patriot. That's delicious, baby. 70 billion euro. Oh, give me more, give me more. And the reality is, it's all a lie. It's
Oh,
all a lie.
absolutely.
But
Absolutely.
when I come up and say, well, no, that's actually arsenic disguised with sugar, but I have to explain, you know, the parts of what the damage are. And they're like, I'd rather just eat the sugar, Scott. I'd just rather eat the sugar. And here's the problem. Ksenia Sobchak is the problem. There's so many people in Russia like her are defeatists. They're remnants of the liberal elite who ruined Russia in the 1990s, and they're in Russia today, who are resentful of Vladimir Putin for daring staying in power for 26 years to repair the damage that they and their ilk did in the 1990s. And I don't know what the percentage of the population is, 10, 15% that's there. What the West is doing is seeking to take their lies and then have them resonate in an echo chamber of social media and compliant mainstream media and have it echo back into Russia where it's received by people who start echoing it back, I think. And that's the goal. The West honestly believes that they can create the conditions for a Moscow Maidan. And there's you and I know that's impossible. It's literally impossible. Even if you wanted it to happen, I don't believe you do, but even if you want it to happen, you just know there's just no way to get there. You know, but there, you know, what I'm hearing now is Putin's in trouble. September 20th is the Duma elections, and Putin's going to get wiped out. And when that
Putin's not going to
happens,
get wiped out. What they should be actually worried about, no, there's a good chance that United Russia is going to get damaged hard, but the some of the parties like LDPR that comes in are even more hard line when it comes toward the West. So yeah, you be careful what you wish for, because the people coming in aren't going to be exactly the way they may have liberal Democrat in the title, but there's nothing liberal about them.
But I don't see. I mean, again, you're there 24/7. I think that all of this drone attacks and all of this posturing and stuff, it's going to fail in Russia just like it failed in
Oh
Iran. Remember,
yeah.
kill the supreme leader, weaken the Iranian government, and the people will turn their back. No, they rallied to the cause, and I believe that the Russian people are rallying as we speak to the Russian government of Vladimir Putin. Now, will United Russia, I actually think that United Russia is going to do quite well, because at the end of the day, if Vladimir Putin may pull off a Putin-like rally, because he's done this in the past, hold the big rallies, and just say this is a matter of national pride, rally around me. And to rally around me, I need the people that I believe in. I need my people. I need this. And I think the Russian people are going to rally around him. I don't see the Russian people abandoning.
Oh no. There's two things in this. One, Putin, even though he's in the party, I guess if you want to call it that, he's actually separate from the party. Doesn't
Yeah,
really
he's not.
matter
He's
who's
not
going to be in
in
parliament.
the.
It
No,
it's not
he's not a
dependent on.
coalition presidency.
Right. And the second thing is, there's a Russian saying, nobody changes horses in the middle of a race.
And Russia's in
And
a race right now.
yeah. So it which translates to, you have the leaders you have in the middle of a war, nobody's changes leaders. We
Who's
can
going to change?
talk after the war one way or the other, but nobody's gonna, and that's a Russian that's a Russian wisdom that the vast majority of people understand. So,
Yeah. So this concept of a Moscow Maidan, I just think is ludicrous. I
oh yeah.
think to have people like Gilbert Doctorow threaten Putin with military revolt, that Gerasimov is somehow going to lead a Wagner type mutiny. I just think these people live in a fantasy world. Anything's possible, I guess, but I think they are operating on such a fringe script that it's devoid of reality, devoid of possibility. And so it plays here in the West, and this is why we get the Gilbert Doctorows and others out there going, well, I mean, even Ray McGovern, who I have the deepest respect for, it's like, well, some of this might be true. Ray, none of it's true.
No, none of it's true.
None of it's true.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, who knows? One day I'll wake up and there'll be in Moscow Center will be full of people going down with Putin, and I'll go, oh, well, I have to eat shirt. And I eat shirt, but I just don't see it happening.
No, it's not going to happen. It's
So
not going to
people.
happen in the middle of a war, that's for damn sure. That's
I
not.
mean, but the trajectory, remember, this is a man who took Russia out of nothing, and 26 years later has built this miracle. And the Russian people aren't as shallow as the American people are. I don't believe. I mean, again, your Western liberals, your Ksenia Sobchaks are.
Oh,
They
yeah.
believe in consumerism. They believe that wearing a Chanel dress defines you as a Russian, as opposed to the Russian soul. And so they'll always be dissatisfied. But there's a song, the what's the what a com the combiners, basically, the giant combines that they have that they harvest with. There's a guy from the Volgograd area who wrote a song called The Combiners, and it's just about, I mean, it's about the hardness of Russian life. I mean, he's talking about, but the point is, he's not whining about it. He's embracing it. And we have a hard life, and we're the combiners. We're the guys that drive the big things that harvest the food, that put the food on your table, that do all this, and we make pennies, and we can basically go drink moonshine on the weekends, and we're okay with that because the next get up, drive the combine. I'm not saying that's all of. But what I'm saying is, to me, the Russian people just aren't shallow.
No,
They
they're not.
When you have a country, a nation that has that understands sacrifice, I mean, 27 million dead, they understand it. And this wasn't a century ago. This was, there are still people alive. Unfortunately, they're running out, but there's still people alive. But even if you run out, I met World War I veterans. I actually met a Civil War veteran when I was a child, somebody who
Really?
was one of the
Wow.
last, Civil War people. But yeah, I think he was 120 some odd years old.
Whew.
But the because yeah, because I think I met him like 1965, and he was like 125 or something. I don't know. But so what I'm saying is the history is alive. The Immortal Regiment, the people of Russia
Yeah.
bring this memory. And so when you have people who, this is, I'm sort of jealous of the Russian people because you've imbued yourself with your history and you've brought it into your heart. I wish the American people would do with the Constitution what you've done with the sacrifice of the people who gave everything, gave their lives in the Great Patriotic War. That is your history. That is your bedrock. And the people that don't respect, this is why, again, I totally agree with the Russian government, because some people say it's superficial when you have the Russian government saying, we must defend our history. We must defend our
Oh.
history. And they take violent umbrage at anybody who tries to rewrite that history. Well, why? Well, it's this, they're protecting their equivalent of the Constitution. Just like I would say, we must protect our Constitution at all costs. Russia must protect its history at all costs, because the moment Russia allows its history to be redefined, if people like Ksenia Sobchak thinking it's okay to go to Kiev, stand next to Azov and shout Slava Ukraina,
Oh, yeah, she did do that, didn't she?
not understand the consequences of it, not understand that the Banderas are in fact evil, that there are literal Nazis in Ukraine today. Try to minimize that. The moment you lose touch with your history, the moment you forget your history, you then say, well, the CIA never tried to manipulate the Chechens during the First and Second Chechen War, that it wasn't a war of existential survival for Russia, understanding that if Russia allowed Chechen to break away, then there goes Tatarstan, there goes Bashkiria, there goes the
Oh,
entire Muslim hinterland, and that's the end of Russia. Russia is more than just Russian-speaking Slavic people. Russia is an amalgam of 136 different ethnic groups who speak different languages. There's a very large Muslim population that the Russians respect very much.
yeah.
But you don't know this if you don't know your history. And so the Russians
Absolutely.
know their history.
Absolutely.
They know their history, and their history is invaluable to their survival as a nation. And I don't know where we were going with this, but I'll just
Man.
leave it at that.
Well, there, Doctro, yeah, he's admitted this before. He blurted out, and that's about a year ago, which was pretty much when I stopped listening to anything he said, outside to slightly ridicule it. Yeah, I most of my contacts in Russia are my liberal friends.
Yeah,
Okay.
who are
And
80
on
years old.
that point, and no more needs to be said.
Well, we learned he had a recent conversation with Glenn Deason, and I learned that Gilbert has another source, the movers, the guys who were moving his apartment. Now, in between physically moving stuff out of his apartment, they apparently had in-depth geopolitical discussions about the economic diversity of Russia and the state of democracy in Russia and things of that nature. And I've also learned that he's had a very in-depth conversation with a few taxi drivers. Now, I've
Oh,
had
the taxi
conversations.
drivers are the best because they sit there all day listening to liberal radio.
I talk to taxi drivers all the time. Every time I get in a taxi, every time I land in Russia, we get in a taxi from Vnukovo to the hotel, and a fascinating conversation. I had one guy tell me I was a great analyst. I was very proud of that point moment. I was like, wow. Because I sometimes get stopped and people, hey, Scott Ritter, da da da. You're a tax guy. I go, I know you. You're a great analyst. You're super duper. But I can't remember your name. I'm like, Scott Ritter? He's like, no, that's not it. And I'm like, well, where are we going with this? And then he continues on, and then he goes, no, you're the best military analyst there is. The best, Tucker Carlson, Tucker Carlson. And I'm like, okay. So yeah, taxi drivers are a great source. That should be relied upon religiously. And so too are retired, 80-year-old defense industry people and things of that nature. Look, I'm not, I don't claim to have the best sources. I'm sure you're 400 times better connected than I am because you live there. But my sources include active duty Russian generals. My sources include battalion commanders. My sources include sergeants on the front line, journalists. My sources of the Duma, state senators, governors. My sources include, leading economists, the people who are, throughout society. I diversify my sources. I often tell the Russians, I come to Russia as a friend, but you do know my past. Okay, you can't outrun your past. And my past was as an intelligence officer, which means that I have a methodology to collection of information that is linked to professional standards of excellence, meaning that you must be accurate. You must have confirmed reliability in your sources. And Gilbert Doctorow tends to poo-poo this. He poo-poos the work of Larry Johnson and others.
Oh yeah, I've heard him directly saying that too.
So instead, we're supposed to, sit there and say, "Well, Gilbert's taxi drivers, movers, and 80-year-old liberal elites are," and that's it. No, but you also heard what he said. He watches Russian TV.
Well, he must have seen me a couple of times on there because then it would
Yeah,
have.
you're one of those Russian propagandists. But he watches it, and then he does amazing things. For instance, he'll watch a show, 60 Minutes or The Great Game or Suluhu Live, and then he'll sit there and he goes, but I don't pay attention to what they say. I go straight to the comments. Oh, well, now this,
I missed
because
that part about he
this
said.
guy is Harvard educated, Columbia educated. I mean, this guy is Ivy League, so we're not learning the Ivy League standard. Go to the comments. But then he arbitrarily goes through the comments and he goes, I eliminate the people who use bad grammar and bad syntax and misspell words, because I don't allow my opinion to be shaped by the illiterate. I only pay attention to those comments that come from the cultured class, liberal elites. So he watches Russian TV thinking that what's actually happening on Russian TV, look, I'm not putting it down. TV is TV. It's freaking entertainment.
Yes, it
Okay.
is. Yeah.
You and I are invited because we're going to get involved in a discussion, but the producer doesn't sit there and go, well, we're going to have Scott and Stan on. They're going to have an hour and a half long boring conversation, which is factually correct about the dynamics of the SMO, because the viewership's going to go click, 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 click. They go, well, Scott and Stan are going to be here. Who can we get to oppose them? And we want dynamic people who can laugh and have humor and, oh, zero enough.
Oh,
So, this is what they do. And so the TV is designed to be entertaining. The people that go on, I mean, I don't do it, which is why I don't get invited back to these shows. I try to keep it clean. But, people, you're supposed to go on and create, controversy and bounce ideas off and all this kind of stuff. It's entertainment. So right off the bat, if you're saying that Russian TV is your benchmark, you've already allowed yourself to be manipulated, because Russian TV is as fake as any other TV out there. Now, if you have the right filters on and all this, you can filter out the entertainment and get to the information that's important. That's what I do with American TV. That's what I do with Russian TV. Unless you're a principal actor, you just basically have an opinion. It could be an informed opinion, but it's an opinion. And so that opinion must be weighted with the other opinions, and you're looking for the kernels of fact to come out so you can form your own informed opinion. So, but Doctorow doesn't say that. He says that I watch them, then I go to the comments, I weed out the uneducated, and I only refer to the elite, and that's where I get my insights into the reality of Russia today. I get my insights in reality of Russia by going to Russia, meeting people, talking to them, and listening to them. I spend most of my time just listening. I want to hear what people say. I learn from this. But that's bad methodology. So,
When you, by the way, also consider that on average, about half of the people you think you're talking to are actually bots, who I'm sure have a very good grammar.
well, now that they know how to manipulate Doctor O, I mean, I will have the grammatically correct bots brought in.
Oh, Yeah, that is hilarious, Scott. I've got to run. I got another
Okay.
program to be on. I want to thank you, and we're ending on a light note for once after all the heavy topics. Beware the beware the grammatically correct bots on the
Bots, that's right.
comment sections. So the
Well,
credibility of doctor in my eyes has just fallen even for. I'm like I said, I missed that comment part. I heard his with his taxi drivers, and I run into those taxi drivers too, and so they listen to way too much liberal radio all day.
I know that Tucker Carlson is very popular right now among the taxis. So,
Oh, is he? Okay. That's not just a few of them,
not that other
which is
guy.
good.
Not that other guy. We only Tucker. All
At
right,
least he
man.
didn't say Cain Owens. At least you got the gender right.
Yeah.
It could be worse.
It could be worse, that's right.
You look a little light skinned and male. You've done something to yourself. You're not that.
Remind me of Candace Owens. No. All right.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody. Scott, thanks. Let me know
Bye.
when you're coming in next. Go get another beer. All right, everybody, cheers.